What's up, YouTubeanites? Welcome to Lords of Lombox presents the Cover Price Comic Book Shakers of the Week. You know what time it is. You know, this is the offer list, but I think there's one or two that are on there that are easy, but some other ones, whoa. As you know, customarily, excuse me, for Freestyle Friday. Got to play freestyle, right?
There you go.
All right.
Apparatus is here. When I rock a rhyme, often eyes are dropping a tear. It's so beautiful, it's America's landscapes when this man makes lyrics like the syrups that you pour upon your pancakes. My mandate is to grip minds like a handshake, spit Orlando Lakes and go skinny dip with the fan base. Over any damn breakbeat, I hastily make pastries tastier than anything that Wolfgang makes. So take notes out of suckers, I make coats, lump of some like Bubba Gump fishing on lake boats. I take jokes and turn the comedy into drama. I'm bagging on your mama. I'm Jeffrey Dahmer behind ya. I'm a rhyme writer. Lock, stock, smoking the ganja. Rebuttals befuddle, leaving a puddle of saliva, sillies. You couldn't handle Randall when I throw my grammar at you. It hit your head and you would think I threw a hammer at you. I point the camera at you like Herb Ritz. Develop it, then use the pictures to pick up bird shits. You're nervous as the impervious wordsmiths hanging out in Rafa's new crib come with the verses. Yeah.
Couldn't be a shaky show without Randall Park freestyle.
No, I just watched a movie with him last night too, and it reminded me of that too. And I was like, "Oh my goodness!" Forgot what it was. I think I was watching Three Problems something.
Three Body Problem.
Three Body Problem. I think that was it. Was he in there? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a new record of. That we're setting right now.
Earliest invocation.
I love it, man.
You gotta peep out Three Body Problem, man. It is some trippy sci-fi stuff. Yeah. And if you want to delve deeper into it, look into the backstory. So the guy who brought basically he was a big fan of the novel, right? This Chinese guy. And so he helped usher it into Netflix, and he was killed by somebody. And I'll just leave it at that. It's really crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's really interesting, though. Really interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of crazy, Marty, say what's good to people.
What's good, peoples? Welcome to the show, as always. Thank you for joining us live. Thank you for joining us on the Rewind. We hope you guys enjoy our show tonight. We're going to do our best to not bingling, dingle dangle, whatever you want to say it. So, but we're going to try. We're going to try. All right.
All right, JB.
Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. This is not the Ofer list. There might be one or two on here that you may have. But you know what this list is? It is chock full of some fantastic writing from the amazing writers over at Cover Price. By the way, if you do not have a subscription to Cover Price, what the hell are you doing, man? For less than the price of a McRib, that's on your bingo card.
Wow.
There
you go. So we have
dropping bingo card all
JB pandering.
Pandering McRib, to the audience.
Bingo, bingo, bingo. Man,
yeah, look at that. Okay. All right. This show is brought to our friends at Cover Price, focusing on new sales or interesting sales found on their exclusive daily shakers list. This changes several times every day, so make sure you check it out to read some of the hottest trending books. After we go through these 10, we're going to go onto the website and see what's shaking today, boys and girls. Also, our good friends at Bird City Comics, sponsored by them, are sponsored by Bird City Comics. Use discount code of LOTLB to get 15% off in Bird City Comics store. Miss Laura couldn't be here, but you know what? She's always going to be here in heart, right? You know, because I think she's busy with work. So, but she wanted me to tell you guys something.
Come to me. I've been waiting.
Oh, my God.
We're clipping that.
No, we're not.
It never gets old, man. Come on.
All right, man. Let's get right to it. So this is the shakers for April 11th. What do we got up first? I think this is a chance to get on the board.
Yeah, this is a chance to get on the board. You know what? We're going to do something different. I don't think we've ever done this before. There is some very impressive knowledge that's about to get dropped in this read. And I'm going to ask the chat, because we've got one of the best chats in YouTube. Here's a little trivia. What comic book holds the record with the most printings? The answer coming up. All right. To kick off tonight's list, we've got Shaker number one, Batman, The Killing Joke, issue number one, originally published in 1988. Now, we avoid discussing books that have sold over 1,000 copies and don't normally cover graphic novels either, but we prefer to focus on finding those rare, hard-to-find gems rather than delve into the less common fare. However, when it comes to The Killing Joke, there is no denying that this is one of history's most talked about, second only to the legendary Watchmen, of course. But what sets it apart from the rest? Well, for starters, this book received an astounding 10.0 grade from CGC, not once, but an astounding 14 times. Damn! It features include a thicker grams per square inch meter cover, but this should be a minor factor when considering the impressive number of top-notch grades for one book. Additionally, this novel has an astounding, ready, 14 printings, which is not far behind the possible record holder. Did anybody get the record holder for the most printings? Because here it is. Johnny, the Homicidal Maniac, with a record 26 printings.
Oh, shit. Now, I would have never
there
guessed
has
that.
Been... I've never even heard of it, right? Now, there has been some debate over CGC's new trend of giving more 9.9s and 10.0 grades. Some speculate that the company is trying to appease users affected by recent scandals and increased competition. However, it is worth noting that although this particular book was recently graded with other previous 13 slabs may outweigh this speculated trend. Man, that's a horrible sentence. Thus, the current all-time high of 20... What the hell? The current all-time high of $28,800 for this CGC 10.0 is a remarkable feat on its own.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
I was along just going to play that too. While you
I would dive a guy beat you to it. Along with the intense controversy this comic has stirred, particularly Batgirl's brutality and this extraordinary sale, it's safe to say that The Killing Joke will solidify its place in the comic book community for years to come.
So Batman The Killing Joke number one from 1988, which was groundbreaking at its time. And if you open this book, it automatically drops a grade because you know what I mean?
Right. The square bound. It's got that cardstock cover.
Hard.
I'm about to resubmit my 9.8 up here.
Come on, man. Look at that money. 28.
The only way I can think you can get a 10.0 is if they never opened it at all.
It just comes right out of the
press. See, I'll tell you what, the 9.8 up there looks absolutely straight to the hands of the I don't even understand why it's a 9.8. It's just dead perfect.
Oh, sorry, guys. Hold on. Hold on. Let me mute this for a second.
Who let the dogs out? All right. So, Batman The Killing Joke, issue number one, 1988, highest known value, $28,800. Wow. People are spending some money. All right. What do we got up next? Your turn, Marty.
Yes, my turn. I apologize for the background noise. Yeah. That was it's the door. So,
we're good.
You got to admit, I've got a pretty good alarm system.
We're on live TV. Do it live, Marty. Come on.
Do it live. Here we go. Shaker number two brings you Boys Club number one, published by Tim Goodyear in 2006 by Nick Richardson. Okay. We've highlighted this book several times over the years, including on a market report last year when it hit a new all-time high sale. Well, that sale has been obliterated.
Recently. Yeah.
I know.
You're getting close.
I know. I was getting close. Obliterated. Recently, a CGC 9.6 copy sold for an impressive $2,999. A massive $900 jump over the all-time high sale of $2,100 for a CGC 9.8. However, not much has changed since the last write-up. The Pepe cryptocurrency is still relevant, although it's been dropped in value considerably. People still consider Pepe to be a mascot of hate, but the character has grown as well. Oftentimes, when the creator of something such as Pepe has been a hot button subject to create something new, people take notice. They explore past work, which will lead fans of Matt Furry back to this book. Recently, Furry completed a Kickstarter campaign for a board game under the Save Pepe banner, which he utilized to claw back the character from hate groups. Updates were provided on the webpage, which naturally led some down a rabbit hole. One fan went back to the beginning and paid top dollar to snag a copy of that book that cemented Pepe as a member of the pop culture lexicon.
Boys Club issue number one from 2006, $3,000 and 9.6. I did not know this was Pepe the Frog's first appearance. I meant, if you don't know what it is, it started as a meme, then it started going into dark areas, and then it was just like, it was, I want to say like part of like Comicsgate and all these other weird things, and people were using it. 4chan, Anon. I mean, it was just weird. I didn't understand it, but yeah, okay. There you go.
I've never heard of it.
you never seen it? The Pepe the Frog meme?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right, man. What do we got next?
All right. Remember, folks, this list is in alphabetical order. Next up, we've got G.I. Joe, America's Elite, issue number one, the Nelson Blake and Reese York Graham Crackers Platinum cover, originally published in 2005 from Devil's Due Publishing. Now, what sets this G.I. Joe issue apart from its counterparts is its limited availability and exclusive Graham Cracker Comics variant cover, crafted by the talented duo of Nelson Blake and Reese York, capitalizing on the Captain America punching Hitler homage. With only 3 recorded sales to date, this edition stands as a rare gem in the annals of G.I. Joe collectibles. The latest recorded sale, a near mint raw copy, commanded a remarkable price of $100, signaling a significant appreciation in value since its original release. In contrast, the previous 2 recorded sales, also raw near mint copies, at a modest $14 to $15. Interestingly, this book only appears in the aftermarket every 2 years, as each of these sales is spaced out evenly. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. The Graham Cracker cover typically sells for significantly less than the 1 in 10 variant, even though it's just as rare. With its intriguing storyline, dynamic artwork, and limited availability, this comic represents a must-have addition to any G.I. Joe enthusiast's collection.
And no one is half the battle. G.I. Joe's Elite issue number one. I'm not going to read the rest. That's a lot of reading.
Raw that Dog. That's a lot of reading. Yeah, man. Battle, man.
Good Lord. Raw Dog, 100 Bones. Yeah, remember, there's been some Graham Cracker variants that have been on the Shaker Show. You know, it's just a kind of an oddity, really. I mean, kind of cool, you know, but you know, who would think of Graham Crackers and comics? But then again, there's other crazier things you're thinking of. All right, what do you have next?
This disclaimer, there you go.
Oh,
yes. Number 4 Shaker brings you Grendel number 1, published by Comico in 1983 by Nick Richardson. Many recognize Grendel from his first appearance in Primer number 2, a difficult and expensive book to acquire. When that grows out of reach for the average collector, many have opted to pivot to this issue. It features the second appearance of Grendel and the origin story, as well as the premiere issue of his first miniseries. Recently, a CGC 9.8 and one of the 15 copies on the census hit the market and sold for $1,020, the highest sale in our database. For comparison, CGC 9.6 copies last sold for $523 in the late 2023. It's a solid early Grendel key to acquire, considering a CGC 9.8 of Primer number 2 can run upwards of $6,000. It also checks the majority of boxes for collectors, being an early key, part of a severely limited print run. Oh,
getting close.
Thanks. Yeah. See, I went back. You like, I was like, limited print run, thanks to the insolvency of Comico and a black and white title. It also has more options, as near mint raw copies can typically be had for under $175 if you can find them. Grendel has a storied history and is a beloved character that flies under the radar. Now, a lucky collector has an awesome key to add to the personal collection.
Yeah, so I could have sworn there was a Grendel movie in live action. Grendel is actually a mythological creature in the poem. I think was
there was is yeah Beowulf. Yeah, so, matter of fact, there was, and I think they did mainly in the Viking Hall. Remember that? I think it was filmed in the Viking Hall.
Yeah. So Grendel. I mean, the early '80s was right in the cusp of just strange, cool, independent comics. You know what I mean? Like, you're thinking of the Tick, TMNT, Radioactive Black Man Hamsters, on and on. It was the high of like indie comics. And then the 90s took over and it was just like, you know, boobs, ass, and variants. Yeah. And blah, 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 you know what I'm saying?
So, naughty covers and this and that. Yeah.
Yeah. But speaking of naughty covers, segue.
Oh, this is sweet. All right. Next up at number 5, we've got Marvel Preview issue number 7, originally published in 1976. Man, oh man, that's the Bronze Age. How this unique raccoon evaded comic book hunters from all corners of the cosmos is up for debate. Still, it's worth noting that the first appearance of this curious creature in print set a new record-breaking sale of $15,600 for a CGC
9.8. Damn! I just did it.
I thought you had it queued up.
I did it myself.
However, before reaching any conclusions, let's look at the evidence closer. Do you remember Incredible Hulk issue number 271? I do. How can this comic also be considered Rocket Raccoon's first appearance? Well, it's important to note that Marvel Previews, unlike traditional comic books, were published as a magazine with larger, more fragile pages. Additionally, Rocky Raccoon, instead of the later named Rocket Raccoon, was his introduction was only a subtle hint at a future character and not an active participant in the story, as in Hulk 271. Therefore, Marvel Preview number 7 could be considered the first appearance of Rocket Raccoon in a magazine to avoid confusion and settle the argument definitely. On the other hand, the debate surrounding a character's first appearance has impacted many over the years. Either way, it's up to the collector to deem what's considered the first, forming their own ideological and historical credibility based on the parameters they set individually. Good Lord, I want to read that one again. It's up to the collector to deem what's considered first, forming their own ideological and historical credibility based on the parameters they set individually. Let's go, Rocket.
Well done. Well, good read. But there's no argument. This is his first appearance.
No, really?
Yeah. I don't care if it's a magazine or... I don't care if it's a magazine or a comic. It's his first appearance. And that's, you know...
All right. Yeah.
People with FOMO get that Hulk issue, and then, you know, so there. I said it. I said it.
Well, what's another example of a first appearance in a magazine over a comic, and which one sells better? Like, I don't like it. Boba Fett, right? Isn't that one that appeared in the magazine first?
The magazines are more scarce, first of all, right? So, and obviously the magazine format, so it's the grading too. But yeah, man, plus... Look, would that be considered a blonde with a red, not red dress, but
a red outfit?
Yeah. I love this. Like, I've always said this. I love these magazines, Marvel Preview, all these anthologies where they could do different storytelling, you know, like Deadly Hands of Kung Fu and all this crazy stuff where you're reading it. And then there's a, like, there's an ad to buy nunchucks and shit like that.
You know, in the 70s, man, they were really good about having like these very beautiful covers like this, man. You see them everywhere. Like, you saw them in Conan the Barbarian, Savage Sword of Conan, Vampirella, Creepy, Eerie magazines. All those magazines had such great artists like Boris Vallejo, Frank Frazetta, you know, some of those wonderful old school artists.
Yeah, man. Is this also the first appearance of Zatanna, or just in this magazine series?
Zatanna.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is. I think. Yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, Star-Lord's another, man, a lot of great examples in the chat. The chat is on fire.
Yes, Star-Lord is.
Shout out to the chat.
I remember when these were hot, when the Guardians movie came out and people were getting, you know, that one with the cover of Star-Lord on it. I forgot what it was called. I had it too. God, I had
Star-Lord. That's another one. Yeah.
All right. Marvel preview issue number 7, 1976, 9.8 for 15 grand, dude.
15 grand. Wow.
You could buy a used Honda.
I can pay off some cards like that.
I was gonna say, guys are pretty pricey nowadays, but you know, you can put down a down payment right there. Boom. All right, this one's pretty cool.
Yeah, not a bad cover. Number 6 Shaker brings you Metal Gear Solid Sons of Liberty issue number 1, cover RICGI, published by IDW in October 1 of 2005. Wow, that was a mouthful right there. Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid is one of the most iconic video game franchises of all time. It combines cinematic cuts, sense, and boundary-pushing gameplay. The characters were well-realized, and the game had 5 main title releases. The visionary creator, Hideo Kojima, is primarily responsible for making a relatively obscure NES title into the Goliath it is today. Video game films have recently seen a lot of success, having conquered the long-running video game movie curse. Super Mario Brothers, The Last of Us, and Fallout are all signs that this subgenre has a lot of depth and breadth. Metal Gear Solid has been rumored for years to have been optioned, written, or produced, but so far nothing has come of it. Mm-hmm. Oscar Isaac was at one point attached. Oscar Isaac was at one point attached to star in the movie. In 2005, the relatively new IDW secured the rights to make a comic book adaptation of Metal Gear Solid and its sequel, Metal Gear Solid 2. The Sons of Liberty issues were released nearly 4 years ago after the video game. Even though these were not original stories, these books were hard to find, even at the time of printing, due to a low print run. Further, the CGI and the D Brown Ashley Wood covers were never available on store shelves. They were only available on the IDW website. They feature the unique art of Ashley Wood, whose art style have come to be a synonymous with the franchise. The CGC cover is taken directly from the game, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, itself, and features the protagonist, Solid Snake. This cover is exceptionally rare, and the CGC census only has 2 books graded in any condition. A recent upgraded copy of this comic sold for $350. Not only is this cover valuable, but the Ashley Wood sketch variant has sold for a high sale of $250. With a recent raw sale of $200.
Sorry, Marty. I was asked to nuke him.
Kurt Irvlinger, Bert Herngeif. Irv Hermlinger. Bing Livehanger. Livelink. Bert Herkern. Bingo Lingfucker.
It could not have been that bad as a long of a difficult read it was, man. I know.
I always tell people
you guys read along
a lot harder. Yeah. I always tell people it's a lot harder than you think. So Metal Gear Solid Sons of Liberty issue number one, retailer incentive CGI from IDW. So there is a resurgence of video games that are coming out now that don't suck. And that leads to So have you guys watched Fallout?
Not yet. Now, did they only just come out with one episode or
no, they dropped them all.
They dropped them all.
It's on Amazon Prime. Yeah.
When did it drop, Tim? When did it drop?
Wednesday, I think, or Tuesday. Something.
So like 1 day ago, and you've already watched all six episodes, haven't you?
No. I watched three of them because they're like an hour long. So it's
when do you sleep, man? Come on.
So what do you think so far, man?
I don't sleep.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
For what? It's thumbs up so far. And then you got Borderlands coming out. What are the games?
Season 2 of Dune is supposed to be coming out too soon.
No, we're talking about like based off of video games.
Oh, the video games. Okay.
You know, Super Mario Brothers was good. TMNT was good, the new one. So, you know, it looks like Hollywood is finally making good video game movies, not like, Go Ninja, no Go Ninja, go. Talk about that. Or that Street Fighter.
80s,
I don't care what you say. Street Fighter sucked with Van
Damme. It did suck.
Van Damme. That was whack. Another hot take. The original Mortal Kombat, not that great. And the music is good, but the fighting is so-so.
Mortal Kombat!
All right, what do we got up next? Oh
wow! Yes. This
I
is.
I am on the board. I have this.
You're on the board, man. This is my favorite cover of the night. Look at this one. Nice. All right, man, folks, this is a good one. Next up, we've got Red Sonja, issue number 7, the Red Foil 1 in 20, Adam Hughes variant, originally published in 2000. Doesn't look like Red Foil though to me. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Now, Adam Hughes is one of the most collected and praised cover artists in the comic world. He has amassed an incredible following, and his fan base is filled with collectors that aren't afraid to spend higher amounts on his rare covers. Now, Hughes has had some legendary runs on various titles over the years as well. His runs on Catwoman and Wonder Woman produced a massive amount of incredible covers that are still selling today. These runs produce some truly iconic covers that have been homaged more than a few times. Now, another character Hughes has portrayed on covers less popular than Wonder Woman or Catwoman is Red Sonja. His work on Red Sonja has produced some of his best work. One of these covers is his cover for Red Sonja number 7 from Dynamite. This cover is the Hughes we all fell in love with. The cover shows tons of attitude and detail, and while overlooked for years on the aftermarket, seems to be finding some interest now. A near mint raw copy sold this week for $80, making it a new all-time high sale for a raw copy. Surprisingly, this 1 in 20 red foil variant sells more than the 1 in 50 variant. Many of Adam Hughes' covers have ballooned in price, but there are still some works from the 2000s that are still out there at an affordable price. If the same thing that happened to Dave Stevens' covers happens to Adam Hughes' covers, watch out. Some of these books hold the potential to jump up in price, considering their current buy-in prices.
Red Sonja number 7, Adam Hughes, Red Foil 1 in 20 from 2006. I don't think it will, because Adam Hughes did a lot more work than
Dave Stevens.
Than didn't see Dave Stevens. You know what I mean? That's why they're more sought out. They're more sought out. You know what I mean?
Sought
so segue. The people at Dynamite reached out to me and asked me,
Dynamite, hey, man.
Yeah, and they say, hey, would you like to interview some of our artists or and writers for our comics on your channel? And so you know, I'll leave it up to the live chat. You guys want me to interview? And if so, which comic book or creator or writer or artist do you want me to interview? I haven't done that for a while now, but you know what? Why not? You know what I'm saying?
Why not, man? It's something different, you know, just kind of fresh, buddy. Keeping you fresh, man.
It'll be a, and it'll be a live interview too. So if you have any questions.
That's another example why the universe is telling you to stay, brother. You know?
Yeah, we'll see about that. All right. Get ready for some obscurity.
Yes, it is. Number 8 Shaker brings you Robot Men of the Lost Planet, number 1 by Avon, published in 1952. This is almost an ironic book to hit the Shaker's list. Among all the divisive discussions. Did I say that right?
Divisive discussions
over technology in AI. This book is the tragedy of the end of the world at the hands of robots that have gone sentient. The book has an uplifting ending where a small family is able to reclaim some semblance of humanity and begin the end of the robot rule. If the premise wasn't terrifying enough, Gene Fawcett and Mort Lawrence's artwork on the robot design will petrify you. It truly is the thing of nightmares, and also the image of a popular children's toy. Depending on the generations you grew up in, you might recognize the toy as Jobo, Panic Pete, or Bug Out Bob. This popular toy hit the markets in 1950, and the resemblance to the robot overlords in this comic is uncanny. Rest assured, the stress relief squeezing toys will not rise up and take over humanity. However, this design took over a fan's wallet as we saw a sale of a CGC 6.5 reach a new record of $1,850. This is twice the value the same grade sold for in 2023. There are only 4 copies of this grade on the CGC census, with the highest grade on the census reaching 9.0. Whoever owns that 9.0 will be happy to see that the book has had a decent value increase.
Yeah, this is crazy and absurd. But from 1952, and you got a 6.5. I mean,
but there's a 9.0 out there from 1952. Someone's got a 9.0 in this. Good lord!
But look at those. They look like robot
squeezy toys. The yellow squeezy toys. Yeah.
Yeah. They look like robot men babies or something like that. It looks crazy, man.
Red diapers, man.
And this was a toy. Good god. Yeah. I don't know about all that. That would spook me out.
It was a stress relief squeezing thing, man. It's you squeeze it and like the ears and the eyes pop out on that thing.
Okay.
It's yellow. It's all yellow.
Hey, whatever you squeeze is your business, man. All right. Nah. Robot Man of the Lost Planet issue number 1 from 1952, 1850, and a 6.5. Let's get some. Oh,
there we go.
You got a chance to get on board. Yeah.
I love these. Definitely a chance to get on the board. Before I read my final read, shout out to the 100 strong in the live chat. If you're appreciating or if you are enjoying tonight's show, we would appreciate if you take a moment to hit the thumbs up and subscribe to the channel if you're not already. At number 9, we've got Spidey Super Stories issue number 11, originally published in 1975. Do I have to say it? That's the Bronze Age. In this day and age, the amount of Spider-Man variants in existence are too many to count. Some generations will grow with the Spider-Verse, never knowing the first variants that emerged in the early years. For example, a significant part of history was the debut of the first Spider-Woman. No, not Jessica Drew. The first Spider-Woman was Valerie, the librarian, a black woman who donned Spidey's costume and lined it with suction cups to impersonate the hero. While her role in Spider-Man's mythos was short-lived, it was a significant piece of spider history, or just regular history. Now, Valerie was one of two black female heroes debuting in 1975 in Marvel Comics. Who can name the other? Chat, come on, chat. The other was none other than the all-powerful weather-wielding goddess Storm in Giant Size X-Men issue number one. Now, Valerie also took down one of Spidey's main villains by using her acrobats to take down the Vulture. This all takes place in an alternate reality, Earth 57780. However, we're currently in an era of the multiverse, and we could very well see a return for this forgotten spider variant. Regardless of the future appearance, a fan couldn't resist picking up a CGC 9.6 copy of this book for $500. This is the highest grade sale to date, with only five books graded at a 9.6 on the CGC census.
Yeah, Jason, I was thinking it's the same thing. I was thinking Misty Knight as well. But yeah, it's Storm. Let me see. Somebody, Rubs Comics, 5 for $9. Do we?
Wow.
Do we require proof of life?
Dude, I'm a one question mark because I got a 9.8 in the book, but it was actually a 10.0 that was featured. So I'm going to drop that little question mark on mine there. One.
All right. Spidey Super Stories issue number 11 from 1975 from the good old Electric Company, man. All right. Here's your chance to get on the board. I have this one.
Listen closely, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a good read for y'all. Number 10, Shaker brings up the
bingo.
You. I gotta laugh at myself for this one, man. Number 10 brings you X-Men issue number 160, published by Marvel, August 1 in 1982. Ilyana Rasputin, sister of Peter Rasputin, aka Colossus, this issue marks the first appearance of an adult Ilyana who will later go on to master hell and become magic. This Chris Claremont written issue features art by Brent Anderson and Bob Wysek and was released in 1982. Ilyana, or her nom de guerre, magic, has become a fan favorite and has really been given a lot of attention. Magic appeared in last year's Midnight Suns video game as one of the playable characters. He was also in the teaser trailer for the new Epic Games Marvel Rivals, think Overwatch, that recently dropped. The character has already made an on-screen appearance in 2020. New Mutants, as portrayed by Anya Taylor-Joy. Most recently, she had a blink and you'll miss it cameo in X-Men 97 when a shapeshifter morphed temporarily took over her likeness. What also makes this book stand out is the juxtaposition between a recent 9.9 and a 9.8 sale. According to the CGC census, there's only one copy of this book in a 9.9 and in a 10.0. This book was graded before the recent CGC 9.8 controversy, making this particular book one of the super rare unicorns. Recently, a 9.8 and a 9.9 were both sold on the same day. The 9.8 sold for $159, while the 9.9 sold for $560. That is a difference of $4,401 or a 2,768% increase.
Yeah, so if you didn't watch episode 5, No. It was during the Goblin Queen episode, and you see her saying, "I don't want to hurt you," and then she zaps, her and becomes like her pawn.
Shouldn't you
and
hit like spoiler thing real quick? But shouldn't you have done some sort of spoiler thing?
No, man, I'm not spoiling anything. It's just okay. She made an appearance. I didn't spoil that everybody died. Oops. yeah, so X-Men issue 160, 1982, 9.9 for $4,560. I don't know. Yeah, I have one, but it's not a 9.9. I don't even think it's and I'm going to correct the writers of cover price here. She didn't take over as the leader of Hell. She took over the leader of Limbo.
Limbo.
Yeah, Belasco was the, was in part of Limbo, and then she took over. You know, there's a great Magic miniseries. So what happened? Yeah, what happens is she's like a young girl, and then all of a sudden she goes into Limbo, and then she comes out like almost an adult, like, you know, she's like a 19-20 year old or something like that, and then she just comes out just a badass. You know what I'm saying? I hope you guys left a comment on last week's show or Tuesday show.
Yeah, let's talk about this, Tim. I mean, we're getting 100 comments. I know we got 100 in the live. Shout out to the 100 in the live. I'm pandering to the audience again.
Free shit, man.
We get 1,000 views on the rewind and get a lot of thumbs up, which we really appreciate. There's only 34 comments on these videos. On average, 34 comments. I'm sending books to the same people over and over again. As a matter of fact, I shipped, go check your IG if you got shipped today because you got your tracking.
Yeah. So you'll get a chance to win. We're going to go and see what's shaking. So you guys drop the link in there so they can leave a comment. One person took my advice and they go, "You guys suck."
Nice.
So it doesn't even have to be, say anything you want. Just leave a comment.
You guys subscribe to the channel.
Yeah. Let's go over and see what's shaking today, boys and girls. They do a seamless transition.
You don't get this kind of production quality.
No, you don't. You don't at all.
Broadcast. Barely. Yeah. Barely at all. Yeah.
Seamless transition. This is the killing the dead seamless. Air.
I love the
seamless. Still killing that. There it is. Seamless.
All right, so here we go. See, if you haven't been on their website lately, they kind of revamped it a lot, actually. You know, here's my trending comics. Rare finds, Daily Shakers, here's the top 10, runners up, latest news. I mean, God, you get a lot of bang for your buck for the price of a McRib, you know what I'm saying? But we're here to see what's shaking. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
These are big money.
These is big money, brother.
I still have my Strange Tales. Captain America USA, X-Men number 1. Wow, 2.5 for $5,000. That seems rather reasonable to me.
Yeah, I have the Amazing Spider-Man 14. I think that's the only one I have.
Damn.
That first row.
$2,800 for a newsstand.
What?
Look at that.
That's crazy.
Nice. I'm gonna have to go.
That's too much.
Highest known grad. Actually, the highest known value is $5,250 back last year, December of 2015.
Crazy.
Crazy. Oh, love this cover.
That one.
Oh, you love that cover.
Still have that one.
Ah, Frank Bruner, man. So awesome. Look at that. So dope.
I actually own one of those. Still have it.
That's a so a graded 9.8 sold for $1,400. There is gonna be a Doctor Strange 3 film. It was teased at the end of Doctor Strange number 2 with Clea. Go check out Emergency Awesome. Great freaking channel. They got like 10 million subs or whatever. And they were breaking down, like, all the stuff for X-Men, and interesting enough, there's a thing about they did a video about Madame Web and how there were deleted scenes of Peter Parker Spider-Man inside the Madame Web movie.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean?
But then,
yeah. There was and different
versions of it too.
I don't know. It's I haven't seen the movie and I don't care to, but maybe we'll see it one day. So but yeah, it's very interesting. Go check out Emergency Awesome, man. They're a great channel.
Is that some J. Scott Campbell to the right?
That is some J. Scott right there.
Yep.
Look at him.
Number one.
Peter and Mary both have the same
beautiful look at cover, that. Man.
Sorry, Laura, but you know, blondes are cool, but I got a thing for redheads, man.
Yes, yes. Yes, you and me too, brother.
Mm-hmm. Well, what the hell is this?
What is this coverlet? What is that? Godzilla?
Godzilla. Yeah, Megalon.
Megalon.
Yeah, there we go.
It's so, like just a page.
Is that all they have? That's it. One page. Damn. Very rare, by the way. Very rare. Here.
First U.S. comic appearance of Godzilla. Maybe they probably couldn't find it, so they just like from Cinema Shares International 1976, so it predates the Godzilla Marvel one.
Is it just the page page in within that book?
Well, maybe they couldn't find the cover online, is what I'm thinking for the database. But speaking of which,
record for the number of times invoked. Wow.
Godzilla and Kong is fucking dope. You have to see it. It is crazy bonkers. There is destruction going around. There's some new kaiju in there, and it's man, you got to see it on the biggest screen possible.
And he's got a robotic arm. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't want to spoil it for you, but yeah, I mean, it's it goes even deeper into the mythos Godzilla that the original movies never did.
Really?
Yeah. It goes really, really deep, and it's cool to see where they're going to go here from now. And hopefully it goes a good box office, but, you know, oh my God, what? Yeah, I've been pretty busy, man.
Yeah, you are.
Damn.
You said I don't sleep. Yeah, because I go to movies. Monkey Man.
TiVo does not sleep whatsoever.
He does not Monkey sleep. You saw Monkey Man, all right?
Monkey Man is a must-see. The action is crazy. Dev Patel, who would have known? I told you, I looked him up, and he's actually got a black belt in Taekwondo, and he does all, you know, and he fights. It's like Indian John Wick with the more mystic kind of overtone to it. And it's produced by one of the guys from Key and Peele. I forgot whichever one, the guy that did Get Out and all the other films, but you guys got to peep that out, man. So
you mentioned John Wick, and I don't know if I mentioned on Tuesday, I just rewatched John Wick number one, and that shit holds up now. It is still it does.
I think
not all these hold up, man. I'll tell you what.
Don't go fuck check with a man and his dog, man.
Universal Soldier from Von Damme or some crazy. These things did not age well.
No. Yeah.
No, great. He did not, brother.
I won't show the graphic again, but go see The First Omen. That was scary as fuck.
Was it scary? Was it better than the original series?
No. I mean, no, it's called The First. Yeah, so basically it's before, it's a prequel to The Omen.
Whoa.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, very
Tim, can you see the comments on the screen or not? I'm highlighting the comments.
Yeah.
Planet Arizona said that Godzilla Kong blew out its prediction.
Good. Ooh, look at this Tales from the Crypt number 41. That's precarious. That axe is ready right to her head, man. $600 for a raw fine? Dang.
Wow.
Aw. Teenage romances. How cute.
Aw.
It's got to be like a 40s book or something.
1953.
53. 50, yeah. With a ball player. Yeah, he's going to do her right.
You don't look like teens to me, bud. You know what I mean? What's going on here?
I know. Well, it was the 50s, so you know.
It was, yeah. I mean, look, you watch the remember Grease? They didn't look like teens to me either, man.
Well, I mean, nowadays you see movies, you're like, God damn, those are not people that should be in high school. No, there's some grown ass people in there.
Yeah, especially the 80s movies when they would do these teen movies. They would. They
were old. Yeah, like, Breakfast Club, like Breakfast Club.
16 Candles, you know.
Well, she looked like she was like Witch Tales. Look at that. What is this? Witch Tales number 20 from Harvey Comics.
That's an awesome cover.
That is.
You get a reflection and a skull. Come on.
All right, now I got to look at some more covers. You know how?
Yeah, let's see. Let's check out the covers.
Oh, damn!
Yellows and reds, man.
Blonde and the red again. Oh, the blonde.
Oh, reds was very popular then, man.
Look at the Grim Reaper. Weird Yarns of Unseen Terrors. Wow. Bring this shit back. Shit. You know what I mean? All right. Oh, there's the straight up the devil. That's straight up Beelzebub or
Satan. Old school devil, man. Old school devil.
Yeah, with the horns and the cape. Actually, that's kind of dope, man. I'm not gonna hate on it, man.
I love that stuff, man. I really do.
All right, boys and girls, you've had time. Did we get any more comments, JB?
I don't know. We dropped that last link one more time for you, and we will see here if we got any more comments when I try to divide 5 by 9. No, never mind.
It's 2.
We've got 34 comments. No, we grabbed no additional comments. Go ahead. Are we shared? I can't tell if we're shared.
No, you're not. Go share.
Go ahead and share. We will pull a winning comment here.
You can't win if you don't play. You know what I'm saying?
34 comments, man. I'll tell you what. I shipped. I don't want to drop people's names because everyone was off their handle. But check your Instagram for tracking. I shipped.
The math doesn't add up, dude. We get like 150, 160 thumbs up. We get like, you know, anywhere.
Yeah, drop a comment in there.
100 to 2,000 views, but only 34 comments. What's going on?
And let's see what the winning comment for tonight is, because we're going to give away some.
I hope it's that you guys sucked comment. I swear to God, I hope it is.
There would be more of those, man. Yeah.
Drum roll. Damn. Dang.
Jeffrey Castro, 178.3.
Dang, what a list. Some interesting comics that I never heard of.
All right.
Winning comment.
He's in the live chat. Look at that.
You're in the live chat. Perfect.
That's awesome. That's awesome when somebody leaves a comment and is in the live chat. What are you going to give him, JB?
Some books from Miss Laura wants to dig them out.
You want to show them now or no?
No, I'm not ready for that.
You're not a shower? Okay. Right. You're a grower. I got it. Okay. All right, boys and girls, that's it. We've kept you captive for an hour now. Marty, any last words?
No, you know, besides the bingo lingos and stuff, man, I really do enjoy reading, you know, and I have a great time doing it. And I know when they write, they have those tongue twisters in there, right? Just to kind of give it to us every once in a while, keep us humble, if you will. But I do enjoy it.
Yes, it was good. It was good. You did well, Marty. JB,
you crushed that last one, man. Yeah, you know, thanks for having me on tonight. Look forward to seeing you guys next week on Thursday. But we are on Tuesday, so make sure you're on the Tuesday show. I'll probably be on Thursday, but appreciate everybody for stopping by. Make sure you comment after this video. If you're watching this on the rewind, much appreciated. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And as always, don't forget.
We had a good time.
There you go.
All right, boys and girls, we'll see you. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you Tuesday for the comic book top 10. Until next time, keep digging in them long boxes. Peace out. TV. Shake and make it, pull it back. Oh my God.
created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Now that's a name I've not heard.
There is.
In this, you shall know that the Lord is
upright.
What's in the box?